April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Radio presented by Park Casino and Sportsbook, Elliott Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you till 3E. What up, buddy?
What up, man?
How you doing?
Doing good. I mean, look, the game tomorrow, I'm excited for it. Another exciting trip to MetLife.
Third
time this year. Anytime you can go to the worst stadium in the NFL multiple times, you got to do it. But look, it's a game they have to win. There's almost no juice to it just because it's such a game they have to win and such a game everyone will assume they are going to win. But I also was pretty confident they'd beat the Giants, and we saw how that worked out.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they better win. I mean, if they lose to the Jets, it's a whole different discussion we're having.
Think about in the NovaCare right now, knowing that if you lose this game tomorrow, you then have the bye week, how different your 2 weeks will be.
Oh,
if they come out tomorrow and they beat the Jets like they did the Lions, right? Then you go, okay, the Giants game was one game. They've been playing really good football, five out of the last whatever weeks. Now you have the bye week and all that. Like, it's just such a different mode than if they go out and lose tomorrow. Then the wins over the Saints and the good game against the Chargers and all that, that starts to look like more of the outlier as opposed to the arrow actually pointing up. So, yeah, I mean, it's almost a no-win situation for the Eagles tomorrow because if they win, they're expected to, and if they lose, it is going to be an ugly 2 weeks.
And there is a lot of interesting potential aspects to this game.
Yes.
We'll get into that. The Gardner-Minshew.
The Gardner-Minshew of it all.
Yes, there is a lot. There's also this week, we heard from an old friend this week. Someone, I don't know, I've missed quite a bit, and I'm sure a lot of people in Philadelphia have missed. Dougie P.
Doug Peterson.
In the news again.
Yes. It was good to hear from him. Did an interview with John Clark. And, it was almost kind of like analyst Doug because I feel like he's been out of it long enough. Whereas when he first talked, he was still in like the doesn't want to rock the boat, former coach, obviously, kind of used we, I think, once or twice. This time he was just talking. He was giving takes. He was, opened up Doug Peterson.
And it was great to see, and it really got me missing Doug. And it made,
see, this is where we're going to start disagreeing.
See, it made me think, if we're going to get into Minshew and the game and all that, but I really just, listening to Doug and him joking around with John Clark and the Jalen Reagor question, he's like, oh, you talking to me? And
then yeah, I know.
Just classic.
When he's like, they have to find what Jalen Rager's good at, like, it's like, yeah, I think that's a...
Basically telling the world, don't listen to Howie, that was not me who made that pick, that is a bunch of BS, is what Doug's saying. And honestly, I don't hate Nick Sirianni. I think he's done an okay job this season. I think, you know, there's a lot we can get into with it. But I wish Doug Peterson were still here.
It's just
that Ryan Paganetti was talking, of course, the former analytics guy.
Yeah,
for the
front
Eagles.
Office guy.
He thinks the Eagles would be 10-2 if Doug were head coach. Now, I'm not going to go that far, but I wish Doug were back. I really do. And again, it's nothing against Sirianni. I think he's fine. I don't think he's the long-term answer. We'll still find out. But I think they got rid of Doug too quick.
So you say it's not against Sirianni, and I don't want to paint you in a corner. But, like, what you're saying is against Sirianni. You are saying, so let me just get this straight. If you could do it again, you would keep Doug as the head coach.
I would keep Doug Peterson.
So you would rather have Doug as the head coach than Nick Sirianni?
Yes.
Okay, so here's why I think you're wrong. And Doug was a great head coach for the Eagles for most of the time he was here. Obviously,
he had one bad year.
Won the Super Bowl. Well, I see, that's where I'm going to push back on you. So they did make the playoffs under Doug consistently, which is an accomplishment. I'm not overlooking that. But ultimately, what Doug's job was essentially he was supposed to take care of the quarterback and the offense, right? And he had other responsibilities as a head coach. Clearly, we talked a lot when he was here about how he won a lot of big games because he had his guys ready to play. And he deserves credit for that. But the offense was a mess under Doug the last few years. This year, the Eagles' offense is averaging over 25 points. It's like 25.3 or something like that. That's more points than Doug's team's average in 4 out of the 5 years he was head coach.
He had the worst quarterback in the NFL last year. But the worst.
Yes,
in
and that
the
was part
sport.
Of it.
You're the one who was saying last year. It was all of it.
Okay,
I mean,
but so 2019, 2018, 2016. Yeah. Like the roster and the quarterback.
He still got it together. He won a playoff game in 2018. He got to the playoffs in 2019 with a subpar roster. I still think that Howie Roseman has done, you know, a bigger job of making this team bad than Doug Peterson ever did. Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl, made the playoffs, won a playoff game, made the playoffs, and lost a playoff game when his starting quarterback got hurt 7 plays into the game, and then had one bad year where his quarterback was the worst in the sport by a mile, and he's gone. See you, pal. Done. No chance to turn this around. No chance to see the guy who won the freaking Super Bowl, that dude, that coach who won the Super Bowl, who made all those ballsy calls, all did that stuff, like, up, like, yeah, we're good with that. Let's try this new guy
and look,
who would take 7 weeks to, like, oh, maybe we should run the ball. And now we're the best running team in football.
Known Doug Peterson, known, you know, the guy who loves running the ball, right? I mean, look.
Doug won a lot of games,
buddy. He did win a lot of games. And, again, Doug was a great coach, but we have to be honest with ourselves. The arrow was pointing down on Doug. I think Doug and his staff got a little complacent. And Carson last year played poorly, and that was absolutely a huge part of it.
He deserved a chance without Carson. Doug deserved a chance without Carson.
That's an interesting question. But what I would say is what's the job Sirianni has done has been good. Like, Sirianni's done a good job this year. I know. Hold on, let me finish.
Okay job.
I know he should have ran the ball early in the year. He should have. Like, they all. Mistakes were made. It was a bad mistake. But ultimately, Sirianni has this offense clicking at a level that it has not really clicked at in a long time from this team. 2017, they were a special offense. We know that. And Carson played poorly last year. But 2019 and 2018, Carson wasn't as bad as he was in 2020. He still wasn't great, but I think you could argue that Jalen Hurts this year and Carson in 2018 and 2019 are comparable. Now, Jalen runs, which is clearly a big part of it that Carson was not able to do. But in terms of quarterback play, I think he got similar levels of quarterback play. Doug's teams average fewer points than Sirianni's have, right? Sirianni, to me, looks like, first of all, I like that he's a young, motivated coach. I think Doug and his staff got complacent. And again, his job is to the quarterback and the offense. And the quarterback this year is playing better than he did last year. And that part of that
Come on.
Part of that's Jalen, clearly. But the other part of it is coaching, too, right? I mean,
is it? I mean, come on. Carson Wentz was horrible last year. You didn't put that on Doug last year.
But it was on the quarterback coach, in my opinion. And I think that the staff this year has Jalen Hurts playing better.
For 3 games or whatever, 4 games.
Jalen Hurts turned it over a lot last year
when he was.
But I'm saying Jalen is better this year than he was last year.
It took him 7 weeks to run the ball.
Right.
Seven weeks.
And it was a mistake.
And you can't say the offense has been great. They've had a few good. They've had a month.
They're 12th in the league in points.
It's been a month of good football from the offense.
Well, that's
month.
Half the year. That's half the season. You're saying it's a month.
Season, that's a third of the season.
No, but the season's not
13,
over. The season's
pal.
Not
we're
over.
We're 13. So okay. That is a third of the season.
But I'm saying
they
the offense.
They had a good offense for a third of the season. And we're also coming off a game where they scored 7 points against a horrible New York Giants team.
And that was Jalen Hurts, right? To me, that was on Hurts.
Sirianni, they run the ball from the start.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts
took about an entire quarter to think, oh, the thing that we do better than anyone else in the NFL that we've been dominant at.
Yes.
Dominant at for 3 straight weeks. Huh, you know what? Now let's try and throw the ball. The Giants won't
see
it coming.
To me, this sounds
so
like,
dumb.
That sounds like the exact thing last year was, why won't Doug roll Carson out, right? That was the thing all last year. Why is Doug not rolling Carson out?
Different.
It's so simple.
It's very different.
I don't know if it's that different.
Run the football.
But he has ran the football.
Worked.
Look, ultimately, and we don't want to get into. I will debate you if you want, but the discussion is not who's to blame for the loss. But regardless, well, yes, Sirianni should have ran it a little
it's
more.
It's about Nick Sirianni as a head coach, and he yes. plays a role. I don't think he's the biggest reason they lost the game to the Giants.
Right.
But him not running the ball for that first quarter certainly played
it
a role.
It did, absolutely. He got to the run a little later than he should have. But the reason they lost last week was Hurts because of the turnovers. But regardless, the quarterback position and the offense are way better this year than they were last year, right? They're 12th in the league in points this year. That's impressive when you consider the fact they have essentially a rookie quarterback who at this point is still developing as a passer, right? The receivers outside of Devontae Smith are awful. Like, they have a lot. The offensive line is better this year, which is a part of it. And that was tough for
it's
Doug.
Way
that,
better
right,
this year,
and,
yeah.
And that was tough for Doug last year, right? Because of obviously it's tougher to run an offense when your offensive line's banged up. But regardless, Doug and the coaching staff, to me, were losing it, right? Like, they were going down. I think Sirianni and the staff have been impressive this year. Outside of, they've made mistakes.
Impressive is such a strong word.
How is it not impressive? How many games?
They're 5-7!
And you thought they'd win 6 games all year.
They should have a better record. You can point to the first 6-7 weeks of the season and say they could have won games if Nick Sirianni had done what he should have done from the beginning.
I think they have a chance to win those games, but I think sometimes we oversimplify it by saying if they just run the ball. They were not ready to win those games earlier in the year. They were a young team with a young staff and a young quarterback learning how to win, right? So ultimately, yes, I think they have a better chance of winning those games if they run the ball. But I don't think you can say if they run the ball all year, they have a much better record. I think they might win one game more or something
like
that.
They're a playoff team.
They could still be a playoff team. Maybe. And that's what I'm ultimately saying is that Nick Sirianni and the coaching staff, but we're talking about Nick, so I'll just say Nick. Nick Sirianni has his team a better offense than people thought and a better team than people thought. And I think he's been impressive. Whereas Doug, I think the last few years, like, they underachieved, right? In 2020, no one expected him to be that bad. And yes, Carson plays a huge role of that. 2019, 2018, like, the team underachieved the last 3 years with Doug. They're overachieving with Sirianni. So, again, Doug was a great coach while he was here. This is not anti-Doug. But Sirianni, it was the right decision to move on from Doug. They are better off with Sirianni than they would have been with Doug.
215-592-9494. I just, Doug's a better coach than Nick Sirianni. And I think that's
but what,
pretty
what, what's showing you that?
I mean, Doug won the Super Bowl, man.
Yes, but Nick, first of all, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, obviously. But Nick couldn't have won the Super Bowl yet,
no,
right?
Of like course he, not. But again, you say Nick Sirianni has been impressive. I think Nick Sirianni has been okay. I think he's done some things that I like, but more things that I don't like. And I still think he's inexperienced, and I still think that he doesn't have a great handle on what he's doing. And there are a lot of issues with what he does. And just because he finally figured out what the entire city was saying for him to do, every single person calling in this radio station,
yes, he should have ran it.
They were chanting it in the stadium. Yes. So, like, how does he get credit for being impressive when he made that massive a mistake to start the year? And
because
now
that's one part of it. They're still 12th in the league in points. They're still going to end up winning more games than people
thought.
Garbage
points, all that stuff.
No, like, it's not garbage
points.
But
it's a part of it. Like, it's a part of it.
Well,
all
every team,
against the Chiefs,
every team in the NFL has garbage time moments. You can't just pick and say the Eagles get a lot of garbage points.
The Eagles have had, like, 4 really good offensive games this season. They've played 12 games. They've had
we could go through it. I mean, they were really good against Atlanta. I think they were good against Kansas City. Would you agree with that?
Again, that's like a garbage time thing. Sure, they were.
They were in that game most of it.
Kinda, like, you know.
Right, they've had a lot of touchdowns called back because of penalties, which are not ultimately, like, Sirianni gets blamed for that, but not on him ultimately. So I don't think it's fair to say they've only had 4 good offensive games. They're 12th in the league in points. His job is to have the quarterback playing better and the offense playing better, and he's doing a better job of that this year than Doug did.
215-592-9494. We'll get into the Minshew of it all, the game tomorrow, and if you want to call in, 215-592-9494. And where do you stand on this? Sirianni, do you think he's been impressive this season? And if you could turn back the hands of time.
There it is.
Would you take Doug back? 215-592-9494. Let's start out where we do every single Saturday at this time. Let's go to Abington and talk to our buddy Tom. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
What up, man? How you doing?
Hey, good. So, Elliot, I know by your own admission you're a man of bad takes. But
go ahead.
You cannot have a take on a movie if you've never seen
Thank
the movie.
Oh, I absolutely can.
Okay, for those who don't know, and this is from the podcast, and obviously check out the pod, iTunes, Spotify, all those places you can find it. Elliot Shore Parks and I got into a heated argument on the podcast this week about Die Hard.
Right.
The key part of this argument is Elliot has never seen the movie.
You're not accurately depicting the debate. The debate was, is Die Hard a Christmas
right.
movie?
I didn't say if I thought it was a good movie, a bad movie, any of that stuff.
But you can't judge unless you know. Let me ask you something, Tom. It is a Christmas movie.
Let me ask you something. If you see a preview for a movie, can you accurately say what type of movie that's going to be? Is it a rom? Yes, you absolutely can.
Not until you see the movie because it can be misleading, but Die Hard is absolutely a
Christmas movie. What makes it a Christmas
movie? The guy who wrote it said it's a Christmas movie.
That's fine. He's allowed to have his opinion.
It's pretty much the most important opinion. There are multiple Christmas references.
Yes. He travels out there for the holidays to visit his ex-wife. Yes.
It's not a Christmas movie. A Christmas movie is
like a cheerful movie.
You're
not allowed to say what it is until
you see the freaking movie. It is not a Christmas movie to me because there's too much violence. Obviously, that's very clear, right? Like, and I'm not saying it's not a good movie. I'm not saying any of that stuff.
Watch
I'm saying it's not a Christmas
movie. And then come back
movie.
To us, Elliot.
Right, maybe I will.
Right now, your opinion is ignorant and invalid.
If I'm in the mood for an action movie instead of a Christmas movie, maybe I will watch
Die Hard. It's also one of the top three action movies ever produced.
It very well could be. I'm not pushing back on that, but it's not a Christmas movie.
So just on that subject, to put a bow on it, just a couple suggestions for you guys on Netflix. I would suggest you guys check out Red Notice. It's got The Rock. Yeah. It's got Ryan Reynolds. And you can't go wrong with Gal Gadot.
Obviously.
Yeah, fantastic. Obviously. And then Kevin Hart's True Story, this miniseries. It's a drama. Mm. I'm not a Kevin Hart fan, but I loved it.
I thought it was great. All right, good looking out.
Yeah.
We'll check them out.
Okay, so, guys, I told you this is the craziest NFL season that I can remember, and my ankles are killing me jumping off and on the Eagles bandwagon here.
You don't got to tell me, man.
Well, I got to say, I hear people call up and criticize Hurts, and I think it's warranted, and it all goes back to the passing game. But what drives me bananas is to hear people say, you got to give him a chance. We are giving him a chance.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, this season is his chance.
I think one thing that doesn't get noted enough is Jalen Hurts is getting a great chance that a lot of second round quarterback picks do not get.
Yes, like he's getting this early in their career,
especially this early in his career. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's just not the guy. I just don't see it due to his passing inadequacies.
Yeah, I've never been more unsure about if he is or isn't because I'm with you, Tom. Like I love 95% about him, but I question the arm and I question the accuracy and I question the ability to kind of pick a defense apart with his arm. The three most important things
for an NFL quarterback.
I'm a big above the shoulders guy when it comes to quarterbacks. I think the above the shoulder stuff is as important as the arm talent. But I agree with you. I think you have to have a requisite level of this.
It's a little bit like the Ben Simmons does everything well except shoot. It's obviously two very different, people.
And you know what, guys? It all comes back to Howie. Howie's a con artist that has lasted through four NFL coaches. This team is rudderless. I mean, totally without direction. And in week 13, it still has no identity. I still don't know what the identity of this team is. I'll never get over choosing Rager over Justin Jefferson. I'll never get over it. And to take it a step further, I would rather have drinks with Bill Cosby than see Howie conduct another draft for the Eagles.
Wow. All right, Tom, great call. Might have gone a touch
a little
far.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, just prediction for tomorrow. I think the Eagles will continue to feast on bad quarterback play. I think the Jets will score some garbage time points. I got the Eagles winning 42-17, but I don't think they'll make the playoffs. Wow. Have a great weekend, fellas.
You too, Tommy. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, it's, a tough spot because you look at it and you go, they just lost to the Giants. But their last really bad loss was coming off the Raiders. They went and they blew out the Lions, right? They blew them out that week. So I do think there's a good chance they come out and just really handle the Jets. But after that performance against the Giants, I mean, I was confident about the Giants game. Of course, for this one, I don't know how you can feel as confident after watching just what happened.
All right, coming up next, the Jets game. Eagles-Jets. Elliot Shore Parks on with Marks and Reese yesterday talking about whether he thinks Jalen Hurts is going to play and what that could mean. We will find out, does Elliot Shore Parks expect Jalen Hurts to play tomorrow? And if not, what that means for Gardner Minshew and this city of
Philadelphia. Quarterback controversy in Philly? I don't know, man.
We never do that here. It's not our thing. So that's coming up next. And, of course, Sirianni, where do you stand on him? Would you take Doug back if you could? 215-592-9494. I tell you to change. It's Go Birds Radio. And one of the things that I love most, we love most about our Parx Sportsbook app is that it's not just about the teams and only picking teams when you place your bets. They offer all kinds of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes watching the game that much more exciting. In football, you can bet on passing and rushing yards, bet on who scores touchdowns and hoops. You can bet on points, rebounds, assists. In hockey, bet on goal scores. Plus, with the live in-game betting and the wildly popular same-game parlays, the Parx Sportsbook app is custom made for you, and that's why it's the only one we here at Go Birds recommend. You can bet on every single game on the slate tomorrow. Of course, Philadelphia in New York, a 6.5-point favorite. I actually feel pretty good about that, as much as you could coming off of last week. Again, you can bet on the games themselves, parlay props, teasers. The app is easy to use. It's safe and secure. And more than anything, it just makes these games so much more fun when you got some action on it. And here's the deal. Sign up now. You make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching or bet any game. If you download the app now, you get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just go to parxcasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your first bet risk-free. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The Parx Sportsbook app, the website has the terms and conditions. It is Go Birds Radio presented by Parx Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parx, James Seltzer with you till 3. Happy birthday, Zoe Seltzer.
I was just about to say. It's about time.
I got a 3-year-old now.
Wild.
It is very, very wild. Elliot, by the way, saving the day today.
It's what I do.
Seriously, though. We were supposed to go to the zoo for this light show thing or whatever for her birthday. Zoe's super excited about it. Turns out, like, the earliest tickets we could get were, like, 8 o'clock at night. It wasn't going to work out.
Absurdly late.
Way too late for a 3-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, 3 is pretty old, but.
Yeah, it's not that old, you know. So she usually goes to bed at, like, 6:45, 7. So, you know, it'd be a late night. Elliot coming through with a little Christmas Village idea. She's psyched. She looked at the thing on the website. On the walk-in, Elliot and I walked in together. For those who don't know, we're neighbors now.
Yes.
The best thing in the world.
Yes.
Walking in together, I'm literally on the phone with my daughter as she's bawling her eyes out. Like,
I know. I can hear it as I'm walking.
I put the phone up to Elliot's ear. I'm like, this is what I'm dealing with. And Elliot saves the day. I talked to her a little bit ago. She's jacked up for it.
Here's the question. Do you think they'll be playing Die Hard at the Christmas Village? Because if so, I don't know if Zoe should go. I know it's a Christmas movie, supposedly, but if it's not appropriate for children, probably not a Christmas movie.
215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute, we will get into the Minshew of it all. First, let's go back to the phones, go to South Jersey, and talk to Dan. Yo, Danny. Danny?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man?
Sorry, I was getting this off speaker.
No worries, bud. How you doing?
Good, good. I haven't talked to you guys since, around the last Super Bowl, so it's cool to be back on.
Wow. Well, welcome back, my friend.
Maybe this is a sign of things to come this year. Who knows?
Oh, I like that. Look at that.
Oh, God. I wouldn't count on me to bring good luck.
I don't even think the best luck in the world could make that happen this year.
No.
No. Hey, before I get into the Eagles, I got to say Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie.
Thank you, Dan.
The reason for that, Elliot.
Uh-huh.
One, Christmas movies don't have to be for children. Come on.
Not for children, but I don't think they should have violence and guns in them.
Why? Well,
it's not a Christmas movie, then.
That's your interpretation of a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie is because the movie wouldn't take place if it weren't Christmas. The entire plot is based on John McClane going to visit his wife at a Christmas party on Christmas.
Exactly.
Therefore, that's why the sequels aren't Christmas movies, but
Dan,
the original one is.
You're my hero. Will you call us more often, please?
I mean, that's a better point than James has made, and we've had this debate for years. But I just, again, like, to me, yes, I understand it takes place around Christmas. That does not make it
Dan,
a Christmas movie.
Dan, wouldn't you say on a basic level, forgetting any other aspect of the argument, that unless Elliot actually has seen the movie, he has no right commenting on this?
Yeah, 100%, Elliot.
What was that expression? It's like, you know it when you see it.
Ignorant
no. It's like the vice president's wife said it or something.
But you haven't seen it. You can't know it if you see it when
porn.
You see it. If
you're
you
talking
haven't
about
seen
porn.
It.
Yes. I didn't know if I was allowed to say that on the,
on the air.
Yes.
Oh, and fun fact about that movie. It was originally supposed to be a Frank Sinatra movie. So.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah, it was a sequel. It was based on a book that was a sequel to a book that a Sinatra movie was based on in the 80s called The Detective.
Nice.
But he decided he was too old. So that worked out for the best, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right, let's talk some Eagles, Danny. Good stuff.
Anyway, I love movies. So,
me too, man.
I want to start by saying that I'm kind of a – I've been a Jalen Hurts skeptic. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not anti or pro. I'm just skeptical. And for the record, I don't think that Gardner Minshew is the guy either. But I went on the internet yesterday, and of course this is imperfect analysis because I'm just grabbing stats of the internet and, you know, whatever. But I saw that Minshew's only played four more games and Hurts started four more games in the NFL that Hurts has.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a 5-point better completion percentage. He's got over 2,000 more yards, 18 more touchdowns, and one fewer interception. And I'm not saying that to say that Minshew is a better quarterback than Hurts, because obviously, you know, Hurts has the running ability that Minshew doesn't.
He's definitely a better thrower, I think, is what you're saying. And I would agree with that. I think right now that Gardner Minshew is absolutely a better thrower than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and my point in saying that is, again, not to say that one guy's a franchise guy and one guy isn't. But I think having Minshew on the team, I think it's crazy not to give him at least an opportunity to play a game to see what you have. Because, you know, if he's had production in the NFL, of course the Jaguars are terrible, but, you know, production in the NFL, just to ignore that and kind of fixate on Hurts is the only possibility, I think, is doing a disservice to the team.
Dan, outstanding call. Call us again. You literally led into what we're about to talk about. So thank you. Call us again soon. That was a great call, Danny. All right, to Dan's point.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this before, and like, first of all, if you, again, it could go either way. You're not 100% sure about this, but if you had to bet, you think Minshew is playing
I think Minshew plays tomorrow. And I do believe it's truly 50-50. But from all my years covering the team, reading the tea leaves, they are talking about Jalen Hurts like a player that will not be playing. I know Hurts said he will, but he's been splitting reps with Minshew, essentially, is what Sirianni said. Sirianni's called him, you know, basically limited all week. He's been listed as limited. He's listed as questionable. Like, I understand that he could play, but there is a very real chance he doesn't play. And if I had to bet, I think it's going to be Minshew.
Wow. Okay. So that I really thought it was going to be Hurts when Hurts said, you know, I'm playing and all that. But look, we just saw this literally. It was like 3 weeks ago with Dak.
With Dak, yep.
Dak was like, I'm playing, and Cooper Rush played. Like, that happens. I do believe the Eagles should be in charge of this decision, like whether or not, you know, protect players from themselves.
Yep.
I thought Carson came back too early. I thought the Eagles should have stopped that when that happened. I think that had long-term results.
For
as
sure.
Well.
Yep.
I don't think, obviously, it's a different situation, but I do think that I would be fine with the Eagles making this decision. Let's assume Minshew plays. What are your feelings about Gardner Minshew playing tomorrow if that does happen?
I'm interested to see it. Yeah. I have to be honest. Like, if Jalen Hurts was healthy, this wouldn't be a discussion. He does not deserve to be benched. He's coming off a bad game for sure, but he does not deserve to be benched. But if Gardner's playing, I'm really interested to see how it looks, because you can't really remove the coaching staff. You can't remove the receivers. Like, you can remove the quarterback. And in this case, if he's removed because of health reasons, I'm interested to see how the passing game looks, because the passing game has not been good. And I think Jalen Hurts catches a lot of blame for that. But let's find out. Like, maybe the receivers aren't getting open. Maybe Sirianni, that we started this, you know, show debating, isn't calling good plays. Maybe the route concepts are bad, right? And Gardner is not good enough where, you know, he'll solve all the problems. But it's a different quarterback. And so I'm just interested to see how the passing game is going to look. And I thought the last caller made a really interesting point. I would take Jalen Hurts over Gardner Minshew. Like, if I had to pick the two to start my team with, I would take Jalen Hurts. But I don't see why Jalen Hurts could potentially develop into something, but Gardner doesn't get that same kind of chance, right? Gardner's only played a handful of more games. He's played in a really bad situation. He's put up good numbers. He's shown potential. So, do I think Gardner is the next franchise quarterback? No, I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm just interested to see him, because he is young. He does have some potential, and it's going to be interesting to see if he does play.
Yeah, look, I think it's interesting. I think that's a word that you could definitely use about it, like see how it looks different,
yeah.
See Gardner Minshew come out in Eagles uniform and try and sling the ball around. But personally, like, if Jalen could play, I want Jalen to play.
Me too, to be clear.
And even if it's, like, close, like, I want to see Jalen go out there hampered and, like, physically able to play. But maybe he can't rely on the running as much. I want to see what he does if he goes out and has to use his arm a little bit more and try and, you know, see how that plays out and all that. Because, like, basically, and I get your point, and it is a fair thing to say, I would not bet on Gardner Minshew being the long-term answer here either. But I do understand, like, why not see what you have? He has had some success in the NFL and all that. But for me, with Jalen with this year, it's just, this is the year for Jalen to either prove it or not, that he deserves next year at the least, you know? And I just want to see him take every snap. I want to see him take these types of snaps where he's not 100% as a runner and see how he adjusts, see how he adapts, and see what he can do going in with a game plan that is more focused that way and all that. So I get your point, though. And I can't say that I wouldn't be, you know, my interest would be mildly piqued for sure to
right.
see him. So.
Well, the other part of it, too, is if Jalen's out, then we can also see, like, what problems is he masking? Because, you know, a lot of what I just said and a lot
That's
of the talk in general is
too.
How will the passing game look, right? But I also think, does the offensive line look as good? Are they able to run the ball as effectively? Like, Jalen also masks some potential problems for this team as well, despite the fact in the passing game, you know, I don't know if he's a main problem, but he doesn't have it moving.
Interesting to see if the running game works without
exactly.
it and all that. No, there's a lot of interesting aspects to it. 215-592-9494, we'll throw that in the hopper. Where do you stand on that? Are you interested? Are you intrigued to see Jalen Hurts tomorrow? Or do you just want it to be Hurts, keep rolling with Hurts, and let him kind of figure it out there? 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and go to our buddy Kenny in the Northeast. Yo, Ken.
Hello?
Kenny. Hey, what's up, Kenny?
Listen, I just wanted to make a point to you real fast because with Christmas movies, they used to release all these movies at Christmas because they meant Christmas movies as far as how much money they could make. During the Christmas holiday.
Yeah, that seems
you know
to be
what I mean?
Anti-Die Hard, right?
I mean, it wasn't, they weren't Christmas movies, but they knew that all the kids were out from school so that they could, a PG movie, the kids from 13 to 20, they would all go during the holidays. You know what I mean? Because a lot of different stuff was released all during the holidays, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, but listen, just real fast, I wasn't surprised at all last week about the Giants. Because the Giants can do anything against the Eagles. They've shown that before, you know?
Yeah, but what's interesting, the Eagles had won, like, I think 20 of the last 25 games or some absurd stat like that. Like, the Giants, you're right, the games are close, but the Giants very rarely actually beat the Eagles.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, with what the move that he made last year against Smith, I think they got it rather personal. And he said, look, listen, this is going to be the spoiler that knocks him out of the playoffs, you know, or helps him, you know, even though let's have one thing – positive this year that we knocked the Eagles out of the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Giants didn't even play that good, honestly. It was the
Eagles
with the
lost
four turnovers.
A lot more than the Giants won, yeah.
You know, but let me just ask you something, okay? We're into this quarterback thing again, and I would hate to see three number one picks go out the door for a quarterback.
Yeah,
you know
I
what I mean?
Yeah, Kenny, we're on the same page with that one.
You know, that's too good of – but people are talking all over the internet. It's saying that people are looking at Watson. People are talking
about – I'm sure they're – and can I get a call? I'm sure they are, and I'm sure they're going to. Like, you know, and look, the report came out a couple days ago. Was it yesterday? Jeff McClain saying that Jeffrey Lurie's more sold on Jalen Hurts than how he is. That'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. But, look, the Eagles are going to be in on all these guys. It's a question of if it happens or not. And what Hurts does over the last month of the season to maybe push it further down the road. But – I think it's pretty clear that no matter – I don't think there's anything Hurts can do in the last four games for the Eagles to say this is our franchise guy. Maybe they say, all right, we're going with you in 2022.
Right.
But I don't think there's any way that Hurts is convincing them he's the franchise guy by the end of the season.
I actually think the more interesting question to me isn't would they trade for Deshaun Watson because, they, you know, obviously
they
all
would.
His issues aside.
They would,
like,
it seems.
They would. Like, Russell Wilson is a better quarterback right now than Jalen Hurts is. But I think the more interesting question is how far down would they go to replace Hurts? Like, are they going to actively look to replace him and find the best option they can?
Is it like Derek Carr?
Right. Or Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield? Like, are those quarterbacks? I do, too. Yeah. I wouldn't take any of them over Hurts. But that's the interesting question to me is, are they going to be looking to replace him, or are they just willing to upgrade the position?
215-592-9494. Throwing the quarterback thing into the Minshew of it all, Hurts, what he has to do the rest of the season to kind of cement himself as the guy for next year. That's an interesting thought. 215-592-9494. And Sirianni, you know, how sold are you on Nick? Would you go back? Would you take Doug back if you could?
Would you do it all again if you could?
Would you turn back time?
There it is.
It's Elliot. It's James. We're coming right back. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Short Parks, James Seltzer. Eagles Jets tomorrow right here on WIP, 1 o'clock. Merrill, Mike, Howard on the call.
Yeah,
maybe Gardner Minshew under center.
It'll be interesting. So obviously I'll get to the stadium early tomorrow and we'll see. I mean, does Hurts go out there and try to warm up? What do they put him through? And I think an interesting dynamic to this too is if you're Jalen and you warm up and you feel like you're ready to play, like, and the team says you're not, what happens, right? I mean, I guess team has the final say, but the Eagles medical staff gets talked about a lot in this city. I think that blaming
them better this year than
them for the injuries was never fair. And I believe that the medical staff tomorrow will give the medical opinion. Like the medical staff's not gonna be looking at Jalen and going, well, he's not been great in the passing game. Like they're gonna say if he can play or not, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're Jalen and you think you can play and the team tells you you can't play, I just wonder what you think about that. Like, do you trust him?
If you're Jalen, if you think you can play and you want to play, you're going to be upset, is my guess.
Yes, and I think that's an interesting dynamic to this decision tomorrow.
It's interesting because if he wants to play and they don't let him play, that's another interesting
with all the rumors that they're not committed to him, the trade rumors and all that.
It's an interesting spot. 215-592-9494. Let's see what the people think about it. On our podcast, we do our pod because, you know, you can curse on a podcast.
You can.
Radio, you can't.
Correct.
So we'll do the earmuffs. We'll be like, earmuffs, 1, 2, 3, and then bang.
And James curses.
Yes, it's usually me cursing.
It's almost always you.
Yes, it is. So I'm going to do a similar version of that now because I know there are people out there who get upset. So if you are not a fan of Mad Mike, earmuffs for a minute or two because we're going to Mad Mike and KOP because I'm a fan of Mad Mike. What up, Mike?
Hey, you just got to do what you got to do. If people don't like you, people don't like you.
You're right. Amen,
Mike.
That's the right attitude, Mike.
Amen.
That's why you're the villain we need, buddy.
Yeah, I'm here for it. just so we're aware, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Thank you.
Not surprised to hear that from you.
Thank you. A good take from Mad Mike.
So is Catch Me If You Can.
Ooh, I never thought about that. That takes place over
again.
A
like now we're getting
time,
out of control. Not a Christmas movie.
Go back. It's just got 20 references to Christmas in it, and the guy that directed it says it's a Christmas movie. So do your homework, Elliot.
Well, here's what I'll say. I have seen Catch Me If You Can, and I don't remember why when I watched it. I don't remember thinking it was a Christmas movie. So I don't view it as a Christmas movie.
Well,
you know a Christmas movie when you see it, and it's not a Christmas movie.
Too bad you don't know Christmas movies then. Mike,
I love Christmas movies.
So you probably watch the Hallmark Christmas movies.
Of course I do. Of course I do.
So here's my thing. First of all, I'm just here for all the chaos. All of it.
Another not shocking take from you.
God, I hope Hurts doesn't play, and I hope Minshew puts up 400 yards tomorrow. Hope Jalen Reagor has 200 yards receiving.
That's never going to happen.
I know, but like that would just be perfect. It would be so great. This city would burn itself down. All the Hurts supporters and the flip-floppers like Elliot would be like, hey, it doesn't mean anything. And then all the Minshew mania,
The chaos would be fun to see.
And people wonder why everyone doesn't like Mad Mike.
So, Mad Mike, if Minshew does do that, well, then do you think that's a good trade by Howie?
No, I still think Howie's just a nerd. But here's my thing. Elliot, James, yes. Your daughter, my son, similar age. I'm just saying, you know, we could be family.
Oh,
can
you imagine?
A little play date action or something like that?
A little Mikey, Kevin, and Zoe.
Mad Mike sitting in the first row at Zoe's wedding being like, Brandon Graham's play wasn't that great in the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. I think it would be great. I think it'd be a good pairing there.
I like this.
Well, so we at the Christmas Village today.
Also, just one thing. Elliot Shore Parks does not get to have any say on movies he doesn't watch. If
absolutely.
You don't watch, you have
thank
no
you.
Again,
say
I
it.
Did not say if
thank
it was a good
Mike.
Or bad movie. I said it's not a Christmas
Mike,
movie.
Mike, one of your best calls ever, buddy.
Have a good one.
You too, pal.
Yeah, again, like it's the most basic part of this whole argument. Like whether or not it's a Christmas movie, it is. That you should not be able to comment on until you see it.
Like, I disagree. Like, I cannot say if it's a good or bad movie, but I can tell you that it's not a Christmas movie.
Ignorant. That is the definition of the word ignorant. I'm going to comment on something that I do not know about because I have not seen the movie, but yet I'm going to assume that I am
right.
But
that doesn't mean I can't comment about it at all. I'm not saying whether it's a good movie or not. It probably is a good movie. I trust your judgment on this, but to me, it is not a Christmas movie.
Let's go to Bucks County and talk to Dave. Yo, Dave.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What up, Dave?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw out like a big picture thing to you guys, and then also have like a dream off season scenario I wanted to throw by you as well.
Yep.
All right. So yeah, I mean, like Tom started off the show by like calling the organization rudderless, but like if you just go back in time and look at like the week after the season. Like getting the late jump on the head coaching start, the franchise quarterback asking out, and then from that, like, that is such rocky waters to navigate there. Like, you're on the brink of disaster at that point.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you look now, and, you know, we locked up a left tackle, we have, like, a really good amount of assets.
Yeah, well,
we're making a wild card push.
Yeah, Dave's making a good point. Yeah.
Dave, first of all, the reason the whole mess happened was because of the man who's cleaning it up or trying to clean it up. So you don't get, again, it's the whole
burning
building analogy.
Well, and also the man you want back as head coach.
No, I'm talking about the no, what does Doug have to do with the roster? Come on.
Not the roster, but I'm saying the overall situation.
Doug made it pretty clear that Howie was the one who drafted Jalen Reagor like we always thought.
I didn't get a read
again,
on that.
Are you talking to me? Like, it's a two-person conversation.
Yeah, he's a joke because he's saying he didn't want to answer
it. No, it's because he's there's 100% what that is. I don't think there's any other way to interpret that.
Okay.
That's a fireball offense.
I agree with James on that. I thought Doug was basically like saying that was not me.
100%.
So here's the deal. Ultimately, it does fall on Howie because he's the GM and he made the pick. But I do think that like the coaching staff wanted Doug. I'm sorry, Doug and the coaching staff wanted Reagor because they wanted an outside guy.
I don't buy that one sec.
Why?
One bit.
Look, Reagor didn't work out.
Are you really believe that the general manager would go with what?
I'm blaming Howie. Howie deserves the blame. I'm just saying the idea that the coaching staff would want someone who, in theory, is supposed to be an outside deep threat is not crazy. That's what they needed.
No, stop.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, though, like from that point, like regardless of how we got there. From being at the franchise QB asking out, late jump on the head coaching search to where we are now with assets and young pieces locked up, wild card push.
Oh, Dave,
I don't know. I don't see what's your rebuttal to that, though, Dave.
Yeah, I agree with Dave. What's your pushback?
How can you not be happy with where we are?
Like, because if there are so many question marks about this team moving forward, and good question marks, Dave.
About every team.
Name me all the blue chippers. Name me all the guys who are top five at their position in the future.
Okay, I will. First of all, you say this a lot.
It matters, but
not a lot of teams have multiple guys that are top five at their position in the league. So I think that's an incredibly high bar to set. But also, when you talk about, like, young talent, I think this year has proven to be better than even I thought it would be. Like, Devontae, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson. I mean, I could keep going if I wanted, but I can't think of anybody else.
Really? Yeah, there you go. That's why. That's
I'm saying Dallas Goddard,
sure,
Kenny Gainwell is being
now. Good. Like, you know, Kenny Gainwell.
Okay, but with expensive
nice.
Has nothing to do with talent. We're talking about, like, guys that – look, bottom line, has this season gone better than you expected?
Little bit better.
Yes, it has.
No, a little bit better, but yes, but not like I feel better about that much better about the future. They are better this season as a team than I expected, but I'm not like locked in on the, they still don't know who the quarterback is. We don't know who the quarterback is. I don't think the head coach is that great. Like,
but I think
why would
Dave's
I feel
point,
like super emboldened about the future when I don't like love the head coach and I'm not sure about the quarterback. Like, where are we at?
Well, but
I don't
know. Dave's point, when they fired Doug, right? And then there was obviously, when you fire Doug, you're sitting there, Carson wants out. You don't have Doug, all those things. To go from there to where they are now, I think is better than you could have expected.
I think it's last place schedule is a big part of it. I think that like there are other factors to it. It's not that I feel amazing about the infrastructure the Eagles have.
Right, because you still are out on Howie.
Of course I am.
No, I know, but that's why.
And I'm also not in on Sirianni, and I'm also not in on Hurts fully. Yes, that's why. The three most important things on a football team, the general manager, the head coach, and the quarterback, I don't feel super sure about any of them.
But I think
I feel super negative about one of them.
I know you do, but I'm saying I think they're better off than you thought they would have been at this point of the season.
Maybe by a tiny little bit, but not like Dave's making it out to be like, we're in great shape. We are not in great shape.
That's a debate for another day, because I think they're... Again, like if you look at just the division, I think the Cowboys are the only team that has a brighter future. And it's pretty much just because, they have good talent on offense as well. But Dak, like that's why.
I'm talking about being a contending team year after year after year, winning the Super Bowl again. We're nowhere close as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with that, but there's only a handful of teams in the league that you could say fit that criteria.
Sure, but again, I want my team to be that
team.
Yes,
absolutely.
I'm not going to be happy with being like, we won six games and I thought we were going to win four. Yay!
Right.
Like that. What is that?
That's fine with that. I'm just saying you should recognize you're placing an incredibly high bar. Like, you know, you want multiple players on the team in top five. Like, yes, that's what everyone should aspire to. I'm not saying
What I'm saying is the way Dave was making it out, what you're agreeing with is everything's great. We're in awesome shape for the future. I don't think that at all.
I think Dave's point was they're better off than people thought they were.
And I think it by a very, very slight margin.
So we all agree.
215-592-9494. Where do you come down this? It's an interesting question. Do you think, like, where are the Eagles compared to where you thought they'd be at this point in the season? Of course, the Minshew of it all, Sirianni, 215-592-9494. And one of the things that we love most about our Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about the teams and only picking teams when you place your bets. They offer so many other ways, so many other action, different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes the game, watching the game, so much more exciting. In football, you can bet on passing and rushing yards, bet on who scores touchdowns and hoops, bet points, rebounds, assists, hockey, goal scores, and so much more. And of course, with the live in-game betting and the wildly popular same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you, and that's why it's the one that we here at Go Birds recommend. And more than anything, I say it all the time, but it's just the truth. It's so much more fun to watch these games, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, whether it's college football. It's so much more fun to watch these games when you've got some action on it. You are locked in. It is just a... it's a blast, and the app is fun, it's easy to use, it's intuitive, and it's safe and secure. And here's the deal: if you sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player, your player you're watching, or any game, and you download the app right now, and you get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS, that's G-O-B-I-R-D-S, to get your first bet risk-free. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The Park Sportsbook app, the website has the terms and conditions. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Coming up later this segment, we'll get Elliott's player to watch for tomorrow's game. And the real question is, will it be Gardner Minshew? We will find out later.
24 hours from now, we'll know.
I can't wait.
We'll know sooner than that, but we'll definitely know in 24 hours.
We'll also know in about 18 minutes who your player watches.
Yes,
Gardner Minshew.
That's true.
I was
sooner.
Asking that.
It's sooner, yeah.
215-592-9494. Eagles, Jets tomorrow, the Minshew of it all, Sirianni, weigh in on whatever you would like. So before we did the whole earmuffs thing with Mad Mike, what's the opposite of earmuffs? Like, just open
turn
your
it
ear,
up.
Turn it up. Because if I had to guess, I would say this caller pretty much unanimously loved across the board. I think everyone likes to turn it up when our buddy Justin from Tennessee is on. What up, feller?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing this fine Saturday evening?
What up, man? Good to hear from you.
Hey, good talk to you boys. First off, happy birthday to Zoe Seltzer.
You're damn right, buddy.
Hope it's a good one. She shares a very close birthday. My wife's birthday was Thursday.
Oh, nice.
Happy belated.
Birthday. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My lucky wife.
So. Well, to be married from Justin from Tennessee.
Oh,
I mean,
a
local celebrity.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I try to tell her, but she just shakes her head. Anyway, second off, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Thank you, Justin.
And has some of the best one-liners in movie history. You know, the famed, you know, one that we can't say on air.
Oh, yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, we'll just say that.
Yes, sir. And the one of my personal favorites from Hans Gruber is, "Now I have a machine gun." Ho, ho, ho. Love it. Can't get
I will say the fact that there was a ho, ho in there is a little... tilted me a little bit.
Yeah. Who do you think I'm just, there's no Christmas stuff in the movie and I'm like, oh,
it just doesn't feel like it has a Christmassy vibe to
watch
me.
Watch the movie.
I don't need to. I'll be happy to watch it because I'm sure it's a good movie, but it doesn't mean it's a Christmas movie.
Oh my God.
It's not a good movie. It is a phenomenal movie. Well, quite possibly the best action movie in movie.
I know you have great taste in movies, so I will take it seriously. I will watch
it. Okay, good deal. Yes, Hurts should play tomorrow if he is healthy enough to play.
I agree.
That's the only way I know how to put it, man. I mean, what's the point in putting Minshew out there? Now, if they feel he is compromised and can't protect himself, yeah, I mean, sit him, obviously. But he knows how he feels, and if he gets out there and he's struggling and you see he's not performing well and can't protect himself, you know, and evade defenders, then you pull him at that point. But if he says he can play, you play him.
Let me ask both you guys this question, because I think we're all on the same page. If he can play, he should play. He does not deserve to be benched. If he is healthy enough to play, he should be out there. Let's say Gardner does play. Are either of you guys open to the idea of Gardner playing well enough where you're intrigued to see more of him, or does it really not matter what he does tomorrow? You are playing Hurts no matter what. Like in the following weeks, I mean.
I'm with you, Justin.
Yeah, I think I'm with you guys too. I was just
again,
curious.
Look, you know, like if he throws for 505 touchdowns, like there's any scenario where you're like, oh, all right. But also, it's the Jets. It's such a bad matchup.
Yep.
It's hard for me to.
Exactly.
I think there's very little.
And I agree with that. Yeah. I was just curious how if either guys were at least open to it, but I agree with
because,
you.
Because, Because, I mean, we've never really looked and said, well, could Gardner Minshew be the future of the Philadelphia Eagles? We've never said that. We've always thought Minshew was brought in to be a backup. And we've all had the hopes that Hurts is the guy, that we can use those three picks on players, whether it be by draft or trade or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to see what he has. And as far as them being where they are, you know, they're about right where I thought they would be. I predicted 7-10, 8-9 before the season started. And
looks
they're
like you're gonna be
right about where they
yeah.
yeah, they're right about where I thought they would be. But anyway, James, tell Zoe happy birthday. Y'all enjoy your afternoon. Y'all keep doing what you're doing because love you, boys, man.
My man.
You're the best, man.
My man.
Yeah, Justin's the best. Just the best.
So I'm with you guys that no matter what happens tomorrow, I would not bench Jalen Hurts for Gardner Minshew, no matter what. I think where we disagree slightly is I'm not as convinced that Gardner doesn't have his room to develop as we give Hurts, if that makes sense. Like,
look,
I think Hurts' ceiling is higher because of what he can do as a runner
and all, that,
all those things, right? But Gardner's also young. We're not talking about Joe Flacco here, right? Like, Gardner is young. He's only played in a handful more of games. I would not bench Hurts for him, but I'm a little more open to the idea of, like, who knows? Just because at this point, with Hurts, it's a little bit, who knows, too. Like, can he improve?
Well, I mean, I liked the trade for Minshew for that reason to begin with. I thought it was an undervalued asset where there was at least upside and had done things in the NFL. So, but again, there's nothing he's going to do tomorrow if he plays that's going to make me want to hand the job over to him. But I agree with you. I think, like, it is a fair thing to say, you know, that Minshew theoretically could turn into more than I think he is. Let's go to Florida and talk to our buddy Ja'Cory. Hey, Ja'Cory, how you been, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man? Been a while. Good to hear from you.
Good, man. About to watch this SEC championship game. Hopefully, Howie and our scouts are doing the same thing.
I am sure they're watching the SEC championship game. I mean, all they do is draft players from Alabama now. So, you know, there's probably a few future Eagles in this game.
Yeah, man. I seen LAU's watching that that Pac-12 championship game last night, too.
Yeah. I was not, actually. I don't know what makes you.
Oh, no, because I see you talked about the linebacker from Utah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but I wasn't watching last night. I think it was a few weeks ago I was talking about him. But, yeah, I'm in on that guy.
Oh, yeah, me too, Devin Lloyd. But going back to the game, I just feel like we can win this game. You know, the defense takes advantage of bad quarterbacks. I'm not calling Zach Wilson a bad quarterback, but I
will. He's a bad quarterback.
Right now, I don't know if he always will be, but right now Zach Wilson is a flat-out bad quarterback.
I think this is the product around him, but it's just, I don't know. I think our defense will just overwhelm him, and Jonathan Gannon always calls a good game. But offensive-wise,
against bad quarterbacks calls a good game. Let's not get carried away, Ja'Cory. We've seen some horrible games from JG this year.
But, like, I think our running game will be okay. I know we're not going to have Jordan Howard. Boston Scott has been sick. I'm confident in getting Gainwell.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Sanders has been bad this year, but with Jalen Hurts, I think if they roll him out there with that ankle injury, I think he's not going to get that many times to run. I think if it's like short yardage plays, maybe, but I think they just need to make sure he can protect himself out there running, because you don't want to go out there, he can't slide or he can't get down to him and he get hit.
And they will. I mean, that's what will be the determination. The determination won't be, you know, can he run? Like, obviously, can he run will be part of it. But the determination will be, is he healthy enough and safe enough to go out there? And they'll decide that tomorrow. And I think the fact that he's been limited all week, listed as questionable, like, there's a very real chance he won't play.
Well, and look, I mean, while Hurts was, you know, confident that he's going to play, Nick Sirianni did not sound confident at all.
From the jump, either. From Monday when
he's talking about, we're
going to
have to spend extra time, we're going to prep for Gardner, Gardner's taking reps. Like, if I had to bet, I don't know. Honestly, I'm kind of torn on it. I think it's really 50-50 on who's going to play. But I think that there is a real chance. Whereas I think Hurts saying he's going to play made a lot of people think, oh, he's definitely playing. I definitely think there's a real chance Minshew plays.
Yeah, and one thing Sirianni said earlier in the year was he gives his starting quarterback all the reps throughout the week. I mean, all starters get the majority of the reps, but some coaches do give their backups, you know, a handful just in the case that they have to go. Nick Sirianni said he believes in giving his starters all the reps. So the fact that Minshew got split is extremely noteworthy. Like, actions speak louder than words, and the actions, limited, questionable, splitting reps, like, says all you need to know.
Let's go to New Mexico and talk to our good buddy David. Hello, sir.
Gentlemen, how are we?
What's up? What up, man?
I am so sick and tired of arguing with these intelligent Philadelphia Eagle fans about what they're looking at. It's like Harry Roseman with those big old bird glasses and the binoculars looking at a quarterback. The man still doesn't, he still doesn't know what he's looking at, so what's the point? You know what I mean?
Sure.
So here we go. Jalen should play. I think Jalen will play. I think Jalen wants to bounce back because he knows he didn't play very well against the Giants.
Yep.
He's a gamer. He's a winner. Lamar Jackson threw 4 interceptions last week and won the game. And nobody's talking about it. Why? Because they won the game. Jalen Hurts is our quarterback, and he should be our quarterback. Now, whether anybody else wants to put the stats behind that or not, go by the eye test.
David, I'm generally on the same side. He was horrible, but you the Lamar comparison.
Well, but also, I don't think anybody is calling for him to be
bad. Also, Lamar is, yeah, true. But also, Lamar has done more in the NFL. I mean, Lamar won the MVP.
I get it. I get it. But the thing is, when you play bad and you still have a shot to win, that's a winner's mentality. Whether it happens or not, you can't get that. Most quarterbacks aren't built like that. Most people don't have that kind of intangible between their ears from an athletic standpoint to go out there and still have a chance to win when youth play terrible.
So I agree with you, Dave, that I think Hurts has that in him. I think one of his strengths is he does not let games get away from him.
Exactly.
I think last week he was lucky to be playing the Giants. Like the Giants were terrible.
Any other team, they're
and look, if Jalen Reagor catches it, and if Jalen Reagor catches it, I agree with you. My takeaway would be: look, he played terrible, but he stepped up when it matters. He's a young player. That's what you like to see. But I think in general, the fact is he did everything he could to lose that game last week until like the final drive.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. He did everything he could to lose the game, but he also was in a position to win it. And when you can put yourself in a position to win it, that's more important because that's the overall format of how you put yourself in positions to win games.
Right.
It's going to force him to throw the ball from the pocket tomorrow. He's not going to be running around if he's not 100%. He should play. He should be getting a chance to redeem himself. Miles Sanders, I know, can't wait to get the ball in his hands again because I know he blames himself for that fumble. And
Boston's
everything that everything that is in front of Hurts right now is on a personal note. You know, it's the psyche on how he leads this team. You're not going to find that in any quarterback you're going to draft next year. And a lot of guys don't have that in their ears in the first place. Anybody who's going to question Jalen Hurts' leadership and his big playability.
I don't think anyone is, Dave.
They are. You should hear these guys out here.
David, their questions are.
These guys.
David, I don't know where you're.
Dude.
Look, and good call, but like I'm on WIP every day, right? Like my job is 4 hours a day on WIP.
Some say you work in radio.
I listen to this station a lot. Like I have not heard a single person, not one person, call this station and question Jalen Hurts' intangibles or his leadership. It has gone the complete other way.
Yep.
I've heard people question his arm. I've heard people question his accuracy, his processing ability. That stuff I have heard. David, I love you, man. I have not heard one person question his leadership or intangibles. So
yeah,
I don't agree with you.
The other thing I would push back on is I do believe one of Hurts' strengths, as I said, is he does not let games get away from him, other than the Dallas game, really. Like, that's the only game we've seen where he really let it like
now,
spiral out of
control.
Now, to
be fair to your point, if they were playing a better team, that Giants game probably would have gotten
well, that,
away
that,
from
but
him.
That's what I'm saying. I think last week's not an example of that.
Yeah.
Last week is an example of he played terribly,
and
the defense and the Giants kept him in it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
100%
yep.
Agree.
Now, but had Reagor caught it, I do think he would deserve credit for
and
saying.
And I think that narrative would be there. Hey,
yes.
A tough game, got hurt, wasn't playing his
stepped
best.
Stepped up when it mattered.
Found a way to win,
yes.
Made some big throws. I agree with you.
Yep.
I do. 215-592-949. Let's go to Wisconsin and talk to our buddy Glenn.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Glenn?
Hey, I want to go back to what James is saying, that he would rather have Doug Peterson for another year over Sirianni right now. Were you that impressed with Doug, his first year as head coach? I know you're not impressed with Sirianni, but
no,
I don't think
look,
Doug
that's
was that impressed
with
his first
really,
year, too.
It's a really fair point, Glenn. It's a really fair point. And there was certainly they rallied for him at the end, and it kind of gave him a little boost heading into the next year. But I was really impressed with Doug at first. Like those first, you know, they went 3-0 to start. And early on, it looked like he could call a game. And it was obviously Reich was there, too, and it's a whole combo or whatever. But I was impressed with the ability to call a game right away. And the you know, it felt like he was in charge. But look, it's a really fair point. They had some down times in that year, and it wasn't until 2017 where we're like, oh, Doug's good at this.
If you remember at the end of 2016, Doug didn't talk the day after or something like that, and there was speculation like maybe, you know, he would be fired. Now, I think it was, you know, kind of far-fetched speculation, but I don't think after Doug's rookie year, many people were saying, okay, this is the guy.
Yeah, I agree there. Well, and he also had Frank Wright on his staff, though. I don't think he was too disappointing, but again, I think a coach's first year, I think you always have to give a little leeway just because it's the first time going to.
Yeah,
and then
Glenn, it's a great point. It's a very fair point. I'm not damning Nick Sirianni and saying he's never going to be great, but I am saying that, you know, as from what I've seen of him so far, I think Doug's a better coach.
And going back to this team, I think the main issue this team right now is that we've, again, you can't fire GM over one draft pick, but Jalen Reagor draft pick, I mean, I just can't imagine. I know Hurts hasn't looked great, but I just would think even if we had a T. Higgins or something on there, just another
Pittman,
option for even to get open on there, how much this offense could open up.
Glenn, it's a great point. And again, it's like, I agree, you can't fire a GM off one pick, but like if you could, if there were such a thing as a fireable draft pick, Reagor over Justin.
Well, and here's where
I mean, it's especially because not just because he picked the wrong guy, but because every freaking person on the planet, including the Minnesota Vikings, who laughed their asses off after when the pick happened, every single person on the planet, or 99% of people on the planet, knew that Justin Jefferson was the right pick there.
So here's why I think it's an especially bad pick for Howie. And it's not for all the reasons you just said, because I think there's a little bit of revisionist history sometimes in the way that Justin Jefferson fell to where he did because people were questioning if he could play on the outside. They were wrong about that.
It was
if
dumb.
There was a,
it, we what? Knew it was dumb
no,
in the moment.
Right, but I'm saying he didn't go like 23 or 24 teams also passed on it.
21.
But the reason I think it's especially bad for the Eagles is not because he went the next pick, all those things. It's because they were investing so many resources into scouting the receiver position. It was an all-time historic deep receiver draft. They needed a receiver, and they blew it. Like, all teams pass on good players, right? Like, T. Higgins went in the top of the second round. Like, DK Metcalf. We could do it again and again. What makes these picks especially bad for the Eagles is that they were specifically looking for receivers and missed and scouted it that poorly.
Let's go to L.A. and talk to Matt. Yo, buddy.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Matt?
Christmas movie. It's a little
there
bit of show time.
We couldn't
a
hear you at
show...
first, so start
Sorry,
over.
Start again.
Yeah, you were a little muffled at first. No worries.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a Lifetime movie. It's about a guy who's divorced from his wife, and all he wants on Christmas Eve is to win her back and see his two daughters again. He flies across country hoping he can woo her at her Christmas party, the holiday party. It's really heartwarming.
I see what you're doing here.
Well done,
it's called Die Hard, actually.
Well
done by you.
Real quick, let the record show that every single caller was called in today about Die Hard and said it's a Christmas movie.
Fine.
Thank you, Matt. Go ahead.
Anyway, hey, I don't want to see Minshew play tomorrow only because I'm that guy who's always anxious about all the uproar, judging Jalen Hurts week by week. I mean, if we decide at the end of the year, I think he's going to play next year just because I don't think Rodgers or Wilson is going to come here.
I agree.
And two, I don't think any of these guys are going to draft. I mean, let's look at – I know we say, well, they have bad people around them. Let's look at Zach Wilson. Let's look down in Carolina. I mean, you leave the Jets, it doesn't suddenly make you better, even when you have Christian McCaffrey behind you for a few games. I know he's been injured, but it's just such a crapshoot. Now, having three first-round picks is a crapshoot. The Giants had three first-round picks the Daniel Jones era, so Howie can certainly blow three first-round picks because all those picks were garbage for the Giants, including Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
So, hey, my question for you, Elliot, though, is the Miles Sanders situation, you know, it sounded like, James, that John was saying that they and Joe were saying they really clearly thought he was benched. I mean,
I thought he was more injured than anything.
I was surprised by that, too. Yeah, Elliot, I'm curious what you think, and also with the Dallas Goedert signings, the Avante Maddox, are they going to take the Dallas Goedert approach where Miles comes back next year and they're dragging him along?
Well, I think running back is a very different thing, period. Like,
okay.
I don't think the Eagles are going to sign
long-term. So what do you think they're
going to
do? What do you guys think they're
going to
do?
Let me answer both your questions. So first, Miles was hurt. Like, he had an ankle injury. He re-aggravated it. But time and time again this year in big spots, like, they have put Kenny Gainwell in over Miles Sanders, and they have leaned on other running backs. So do I believe he wasn't out there because he was hurt? Yes. If he was healthy, would he have been out there? I'm not so sure, because they like to put Kenny Gainwell in these situations where they have to be passing the ball. So I think it's a slight combination of both. In terms of what they'll do with Miles, it wouldn't shock me if they traded him this offseason. I think that he's going to want a new deal. They're not going to want to give it to him. Now, he's not having a great year, so potentially no team will want to pay him. But I think if the Eagles can get a good return from him, they would be open to trading him. But I would be floored, unless he took like a really low deal, if they gave him a new deal before next season.
Yeah, like 2 years, $10
million. Right,
or something.
Well, even that they'd probably do.
But that's my point, is like they are not going to pay a running back a big money contract. They're just not.
I don't think they're going to give it to Miles.
Certainly not Miles, yeah.
Okay, guys, and I'm like James. I'm not quite in on Sirianni, but I don't think I can take another new coach. So I'm actually, strangely, though I wasn't, little flower power, I'm rooting for him for next year.
It. And so. Matt could call. And look, I'm too. Like, I think Nick has done enough where he should get another year. And, you know, he's young, and you hope he develops and grows and takes a big leap next year and all that. I just, you know, haven't been sold so far. All right, it is time for the player to watch. Elliot Shore Parks is player to watch, brought to you by your local Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Toyota, let's go places. Let's go Eagles. Elliot, who is your player to watch tomorrow?
So let me apologize in advance, James, for the player I'm going to pick, but let me explain it.
Uh-oh.
My player to watch is Jalen Reagor. And the reason it's Reagor is not because I think he's going to have a big game.
I see what you're doing here.
I want to see how they're going to handle him.
I like
how much is he going to be out there? If he starts, if he gets the normal amount of snaps, do they go to him early, right? Like, do they try to get the ball in his hand early in order to get him going again? And the other part of this is, and I'm certainly not predicting a big game from him, but the Jets have a really, really bad passing defense. And I'll just be curious to see if they want to get Reagor like a get-right game.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game to do it. This is the defense to do it. So I'm on board with everyone that says forcing it to Jalen Reagor is not a good idea. It would not be my game plan, but I'm interested to see if they do it.
I think that's a really great choice, and I'm super fascinated to see what they do. If they decrease his snaps, like I think they should, that type of stuff, that's going to be fascinating. 215-592-9494. It's Elliot and James. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you till 3. The SEC Championship game coming up a little later here.
I'm actually really interested in this game. I'm not a huge college football guy, but this game I'm actually excited
for.
Yeah,
that Georgia D is legit.
Yeah.
Legit,
so. Well, they have a linebacker in the Athletics' most recent mock draft. They had the Eagles taking a linebacker from Georgia. So forget his name, but supposedly he's good.
I'm in.
He's on that
defense. Let's go. 215-592-9494. We'll try to get to as many people as we can before we get out of here. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Jacob. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Elliot. I was at the Saints game before the pregame show, or after the pregame show, and I was the one that came up to you and said I was a podcast listener.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I remember.
How's it going, guys?
Doing good. You know, one thing James always gets jealous of, because I do the pregame show, I'm on the road trips and stuff, and I always tell him pod listeners come up.
Yeah, he'll always text me and be like, another pod listener came up, and I'm like, damn, I wish I
knew
that.
We have the same birthday, man.
You
we
and
have
I
the
do?
Same birthday.
September 25th? My man.
Wow, look at this.
Yes,
look at this, birthday brothers.
Certified real one, no question about that.
You're the best, Jacob.
Well, I wanted to call, and I just want to say, I think last year we should have fired Howie Roseman, to be honest.
Yep.
I think James is going to agree with you on that one.
Birthday brothers, same page, my friend.
I think having Nick Sirianni, I just think this is all a waste of time. I mean, Doug Peterson never had a young wide receiver like DeVonta Smith to go with Wentz. But, you know, granted, I want Hurts now, but.
Well, Doug did have Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon.
Yeah. Like, in 2017, he was good. Obviously, he fell off a cliff after that. But
and it doesn't help when we missed on multiple first-round picks. I mean, the Reagor.
Yeah, but would you say this roster is way better? I mean, let's take 2017 out of it, because obviously that was an extremely special year. But would you say that the 2018-19 or 2020 roster was considerably better or worse than this roster? Like, I think they're pretty even.
I mean, to be honest, our record is better now than it was last year. But
right.
I don't know. I just feel like if we had Doug Peterson with Hurts, give him time to, you know, go with a young quarterback other than Wentz. I don't know. I just feel like he could do a lot more.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see.
Do a lot more.
Doug is also a West Coast type guy, so I don't know. You know, and Doug is also not a huge run the ball guy. So I think in some ways they're cut from the same cloth, Sirianni and Doug. I think they have a lot of similarities.
Well, Frank Reich, Sirianni, Doug.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of connection there.
So I'd be curious to know. I mean, I think Doug would have ran it more than three times against the Cowboys. That's an all-time. But I'm just saying in general, I don't think Doug would have came out running it like they are now.
Now, let's say if we lose two more games, you still see Howie having his job?
Yeah, I think they've. I mean, you never know how it's going to play
Jacob,
out, but I think they're
call.
Past the point.
Birthday
of,
brother.
Birthday brother.
I would be floored if, no matter how this season plays out, if Howie Roseman was fired off.
I agree. I think they're past the point. And look, I don't think Howie deserves to be fired off of this year.
There
like,
we disagree.
Like, you could do a larger picture thing. Like, if they would have fired Howie at the end of last year, I wouldn't have fought against it, right? Mm. But if now that he's here, Howie has not really done much this year to be fired.
No, he's had a better year this year than last year, but that doesn't excuse the past sins and all.
It doesn't, but he's already, like, Lurie's forgiven him, for lack of a better term.
Well, of course he has.
Right.
I mean, that's ultimately all that matters, right? Let's go to Ben Salem and talk to Keith. Yo, Keith.
Hey, yo, what's up, brother? First time ever
I love
on
it.
Air.
I love it. We talk every day during the week, but never on the weekend.
All the time.
It's a beautiful thing, Keith.
It is a beautiful thing. And the thing is, and be happy that your daughter's 3 years old, right?
Yes, she is 3 today. Right,
so let me just start with this. Is the movies, you know what is a great movie to put on? Is Rudolph the Reindeer.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because, because
it's an under, like, he's born, he's weak, and then there's a guy that doesn't want to make toys, he wants to fix teeth, and then Bommel Snowman has a toothache. It's just so much into it. And I think for her age, that would be a great movie.
I like that, Keith.
I'm loving the passion you have for Rudolph the Reindeer.
It's a good call.
I love the movie. I agree.
But it's true. It's really something. I have my daughter's 20. I have 3 kids. 27 years old. My daughter. You're lucky. Trust me, she'll be the love of your life forever.
Thanks.
And when you can sit there and watch something like that with her. And you'll enjoy it just as much as she does.
I know. I'm excited. Like, we're just starting to get to stuff where she can kind of follow a plot.
Yeah,
she
can't
yet. We're not there yet, but I'm very excited.
Well, you'll have to show her Die Hard then and see if she thinks it's a Christmas
movie. She's
going to
watch Die Hard. Don't you worry about that one, buddy.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put that on for my kids. I mean, I don't like a movie that has so much violence to be a Christmas movie.
Thank you, Keith.
Personally.
You.
All right, so listen. So this is my point about the birds. Is you know what? I don't trust the people at the top. I don't trust Halfrey, like John Richie always says.
Yeah.
I don't trust them. Listen, whether he has an ankle injury or, you know what I mean? I just don't believe them. That's the problem that I have.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that?
I don't believe them.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is the duo did win a Super Bowl, right? So I'm not saying you're wrong not to. They've made mistakes, they've done a lot of things, but it's just funny that you know, like, I mean, the morning show did a poll on who's the, I think it was best GM in the city, and Howie didn't win, and it's like, he won the Super Bowl. He's clearly the best GM in the city. So
it's not.
But he definitely is.
I know your point, though. It is quite a thing that you know.
The last couple of years, do you believe them?
So we have
different. The last couple of years, do you believe them?
We have differing debates. We don't have to get into that.
We don't need to dive deep.
But I don't think, as I've always said when we debate this, I don't think you are wrong to feel that way. I disagree with it, but like, I don't think you're crazy to not believe.
Yeah, and again, it is to your, like, just on a basic level, forgetting all the things we know and all the things we've gone through with Howie and Jeffrey and all that. Just on a basic level, the fact that they are the two guys who ultimately brought a Super Bowl to Philadelphia. And that it this quickly after it is this you know,
well, and especially
is pretty wild.
Because the whole argument is like you can't, like, you're the core of your argument is you don't think they're going to win with Howie.
Yes,
and
they literally won
a Super Bowl, and then we're in the second round the next year.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
But it wasn't luck. It was an outlier, I think.
Yeah, outlier.
But it was not luck.
Outlier. I think it's the outlier. You're right. That is a better word for it. Let's go. Speaking of I think the number one Jalen Hurts supporter.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the
definitely.
Station,
well,
right?
I mean, Chuck, but yeah.
Chuck and our boy in Chester, OG Wade. Wade, what up, baby?
What's going on, my fellas?
What's up, Wade? How you doing?
I'm living the dream, man. You know how it is.
Glad to hear it.
Hey, listen, man. I want to.
I love a good, hey, listen, man,
I know.
From Wade, because I know we're about to get into it.
Because you know what? It's been a narrative that's been put around this week about Jalen Hurts having a bad game. And I was a part of that, right? But when I went back and I looked at the All-22 and I looked at the game again, and I seen Quez Watkins get grabbed on that first interception, right?
Boston Scott got mauled on the second interception.
Even the flag was dropped. They picked the flag up. It was clear interference, right? So that's one interception that I will not give Hurts, right? I take that one away. Then you look at the second one. Jalen Reagor, as he jumps up, the best he can do is knock the ball away.
Yeah, I'm with you. But the second one is on him because of the decision. Like, it was such a bad decision by him to not just throw that ball away immediately, take the field goal, go into the half. Like, you gotta ding him for that
one. No, that's not the second one, Jimmy, is it? I thought that was the third one.
Yeah, the third one is the deep ball. The second
one,
I think,
was
the
end of the half.
I think.
Okay, all right. Then the second one was
bad. The third one, I'm with you. I don't put the third one on him as much. I agree.
But let me talk to you about the second one, right? This year alone, he scored 7 times on that exact play. He got 1 to Greg Ward, 2 for Dallas Goedert, 1 for Zach Ertz, 1 for – you know what I'm saying? So if you, as a quarterback or a player, if you've been successful at doing this one play so many times, it's just human nature that you're going to try it. Guess what? He had a bad throw on that one.
A bad decision, and he has not made bad decisions this year. I will give him a pass.
Right.
It should have been a rushing touchdown, Boston Scott, and a Greg Ward touchdown prior to that.
So, Wade, real quick, Wade, where I agree with you is, where I disagree is he did have a bad game. But I don't think it was a red flag, he can't be the guy game. He made uncharacteristic mistakes.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the narrative that he had a bad game. But I'm trying to show you. Listen to me, though.
Okay,
at the end of that game, if things go the way they spoke, he had 5 drops. He had 14 for 31. You put those 5 drops on his completion, he's 20 for 31, 2 touchdowns, 211 yards, 1 interception. The score would be 21-13 without the touchdown.
Wade, that's
back.
A lot of what ifs.
What
though,
a spin,
man.
Though.
I got to say, well done.
What I'm saying
no, but wait,
is
let me ask you. Do you think he had a bad game?
No, I don't.
See, but come on, man. He had 3 interceptions. Yeah, they scored 7 points.
Listen,
like,
you're counting stuff that's not on him.
The 3 interceptions are on him. I get your point.
Great call, always, my friend. But I think you got to put some. Like, certainly the second one. Again, like, that was a horrible decision.
Yes.
No matter what, that was. And again, I think you give him a pass for it because he is not a bad decision maker. Of all the things people want to rip Jalen for this year, decision making cannot be a part of it. He is, for his age and experience level, I would say an exceptional decision maker. He made a dumb decision.
So,
he had a bad game. It's okay.
OG Wade is one of my favorite callers on WIP, without question. But what he just did there sounded a lot like a Carson Wentz defender.
Which
in terms of, like,
ironic.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. Like, he would never make those excuses for Carson. Like, Jalen had a bad game. It's okay. He could still be the guy. Jalen had a bad game.
215-592-9494. Let's go to another country. Let's talk to our guy in Vancouver. Tommy, how you doing, pal?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing? I'm doing well.
Good to hear from you, man. A little later in the show, I was worried. We weren't hearing from you.
I had all sorts of crazy issues to do with telecommunications carriers and international charges and all the rest of it. But
sounds
it's all
terrible.
Regulated now.
See, Tom's going above and beyond
right.
to call Go Birds Radio.
Exactly.
Respect.
That's
Tom.
Why he's top 5. You don't just get there by accident. It takes work.
Thank you very much. So, and in terms of Zoe, is it Zoe's third birthday? Is that what's happening?
Yes, it is Zoe's third birthday today.
Okay, fantastic. That's awesome. Yeah, our son will be turning 5 in another week or so.
Man.
So
nice.
that's fantastic. You know, one thing that we did was we actually on Disney Channel, we actually used old films like old Steamboat Willie and all the rest of it and showed that to him because. At that age, man, you don't have the super fast cuts and getting them all hyped up and hyperactive and all the rest of it. It's a nice, slow, gentle pace.
I like that.
She's
been into Little Mermaid a little bit, which has been very cool. She's like, I want to watch Ariel. And it's like, we could do that. That is good. I'm in on that. So, yeah, we're getting there, Tommy. It's good.
Yeah. So, Elliot, Justin Jefferson, I remember that mock draft. And, it was a little bit controversial. I know Daniel Jeremiah, for one, he was speechless. When Reagor was picked, he was convinced that Justin Jefferson was going to get picked.
I think we all
on
were.
Draft night.
I literally tweeted, at least we get Jefferson when they're on the clock.
It was the wrong pick. Jefferson, they should have made the pick. The only thing I'm saying is there's obviously a lot of revisionist history here in terms of how it played out is not how it looked at the time. It was a bad pick. I would have taken Jefferson.
Everyone knew at the time it was a horrendous pick.
No, but that's where I disagree.
It was sick to my stomach when it happened.
Yeah, I would have done it, but it clearly has turned out way worse than anybody thought, is my point.
I expected it to be this bad.
You didn't think Reagor would be this.
You know how upset I was. Justin Jefferson was my I had him as like the second receiver in the draft.
I know. I like
Justin
Jefferson. I'm just saying it's revisionist history to a certain extent.
I do agree with Elliot. I didn't think it was going to be this
bad. Exactly. No one, no one thought. So you thought Jefferson would be the top five receiver.
I thought CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson were my top two in the draft. We did pods about it.
Yes.
I thought CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson were the two best receivers in that draft, and I was ecstatic to get
but
Jefferson.
But Rager being this bad is what I'm saying.
It was more not getting Jefferson for me than it was Rager. I didn't even know that much about Rager at the time.
That's
it was more that that dude's going to be a star, and you could have had him at 21.
Yep.
I think I'm impressed, more impressed with James's scouting ability than anything else out of the conversation.
Me too, Tom. That's a good, it's a good take right there to have.
So, and Doug, I find he was boring. A quick last point on that, then I'll get to my other one. I find he was boring and lacking creativity. And what killed him for me was when he did say he was going to not go outside for new blood for his coaching staff.
All right, Tommy, what's your last point? Because we're up against it. Need it quick.
Yeah, I know. Hurts has a lot more potential than Minshew does. And I agree with what you guys were saying with Justin. I just really hope that the city, if Minshew happens to play well, I hope the city doesn't get too excited by him. Because
bad news bears for you, Tom, on that one.
Tom, you're the best, brother. Talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, talk to you later.
Yeah, I mean, not like Philly ever does that, so we should be fine, right?
I'm excited to see what happens tomorrow, like I said.
Cautious,
we got bye week next week. You know, we need something here.
215-592-9494. One more segment to go. One of the things that I love most about our Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about the teams and only picking teams when you place your bets. They offer all kinds of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes watching the game so much more exciting. In football, you can bet on passing and rushing yards, bet on who scores touchdowns and hoops. You can bet on points, rebounds, assists. Hockey, you can bet on goal scores and so much more. Plus, the live in-game betting is, and the wildly popular same-game parlays. The Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you, and that's why it's the only one that we here at Go Birds recommend. And like I always say, you're watching these games anyway. It's so much more fun to have a little action. You're so much more invested in the games when you got a few bucks on it. And here's the deal. If you sign up now and make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching, your bet on any game, you download the app, you get your first bet risk-free up to $500, a $500 risk-free bet. Just go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your first bet risk-free. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The Park Sportsbook app. The website has all the terms and conditions. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Final segment for us. SEC Championship game coming up later.
So, I've been a little nervous about something this week. Haven't told you yet. I said that the Eagles went 2-0 against the Jets in the preseason practices. Right? This is some bad potential for me.
Could be.
If they lose, I think it makes my preseason thing look bad.
As if it hasn't already looked bad.
Well, I think it's looked good over time. They did beat the Patriots.
I took it too far.
Wow, I haven't heard that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah.
Well done. Appropriate timing from Dan Wilson, by the way.
They did beat the Patriots bad in the preseason.
Yeah.
Practices, to be clear. The joint practices.
Let's end this now. 215-592-9494. Let's get as many calls in as we can before we get out of here. Let's go to North Jersey and talk to my pal, Neil. What up, Neil?
James Seltzer, pleasure as always to speak with you. You know, I heard you were calling other callers, you know, on the list of the GOAT. You know, I think I deserve a top 10 rating as a GOAT caller. Would you agree?
You're definitely up there, Neil. Definitely.
Thank you. Elliot, pleasure to speak with you as well.
As always, man. Good to hear.
Couple things. Number one, Jalen Reagor is garbage. The fact that they targeted him 7 times last week and only caught it twice and then had the drop is unforgivable. And if your other defenses, you're looking at our offense, when we spread it out, there are two guys, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor, that they know we're not throwing to. So what are they going to do? They're going to double Devontae Smith. They're going to double Dallas Goedert. And it's going to take away from our offense. And if you look at what the Giants did last week, that's exactly the game plan they ran. They doubled Devontae Smith and they doubled Goedert because they knew the other two guys really don't get used in the passing game. Second, I'm a little more worried about this Jets game. I actually thought we'd have an easy game against the Giants and a little tougher against the Jets. The Jets have beaten Tennessee and Cincinnati this year. And it's one of those quirky games where I think this is going to be closer than people think. I hope I'm wrong. I think it's going to be 27-17 Eagles. I think we're going to win it. But I would not take the Jets lying down. They have this weird, for some reason, certain teams they just get up for, and they look like a decent team. And last but not least, Jalen Hurts to me should be the starting quarterback going into next year, not only because I think he's earned it in spite of his 3-interception game, There's nobody in the draft that I think is worth getting up for. To me, what they need to do in the offseason is simple. Sign Allen Robinson. Get him another wide receiver who's a great route runner. Make his life easier, especially if you don't trust Howie Roseman to make wide receiver picks. The easiest thing he can do to placate the fan base is bring in a legit number one like Allen Robinson, and you pair him with Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, and now you have an offense that looks much more professional, and we then can better look at Jalen Hurts and see if he is a pro-level quarterback. Because in this draft, you know, listen, if we get a guy like Kyle Hamilton or George Kiflotis or even, you know, a Jordan Davis, if we get Andrew Booth, on and on, if we get defense in the draft and we take care of our offense and free agency, I think we'll feel better as Eagles fans when those three first-round picks are actually called
upon. Neil, great call. Agree with pretty much everything you said.
A lot in there.
Yeah, a lot in there. I agree. You've been talking forever about a veteran wide receiver, Allen Robinson. Maybe get him cheap because of the
Mike Williams from the Chargers has a tie to Sirianni.
Michael Gallup. Like, there are guys out there I think could really help this team. Who can.
And I think that's a position they should throw money at. Like, in the draft, I would target defense. And, of course, you don't know who's going to be on the board, all those things. But I think it makes more sense to pay for a receiver you can count on, and then in the draft try to find talent.
Well, when we talk about like the quote unquote young talent we were talking about earlier in the show, it's all on offense. It's Mailata, it's Dickerson, it's Goddard, it's Smith. Like, there's no one, literally not one. I mean, like, who?
I mean, like Sweat, Maddox.
Sure,
like, again,
Sweat,
they're not.
Sweat, Maddox, but they're not.
Although,
like,
Sweat's had a bit of a disappointing
year. Sweat's been a disappointing year. And look, those guys are not big time difference makers. They might be really nice players. Sweat could turn into a really good player.
And
I think,
Sweat, you need to.
But you need, especially with the money you paid him. But those guys, those aren't difference makers. Like, in this draft, you have a chance to get some difference makers who are young and can grow. And I agree. I think it's important stuff. Let's go to Glenside and talk to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, there's so much I want to touch on just from listening to everything, but I want to go over a couple things. So I think first and foremost, I agree with Dave and Wade and everybody else about Jalen Hurts being on the up and up. I think the Eagles in general with Dickerson and Mailata on that one side together are scary.
I think that's a great point. Not a lot of callers make. Like, the left side of their line looks like it could be set, and that's a major deal moving forward.
Dickerson guys.
Right, and Sam Alu and Brooks are out. So if they come back, I mean, we have an amazing line.
Yeah.
Brooks, though, I don't know if he's a part of the future or not, but I agree with your point. I mean, Driscoll, I think, is a better thing to say.
Well, he's hurt, isn't he?
You're talking about for next year. Oh, you're talking about for now. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about into the future. I thought you were talking about the left side line moving forward.
Well, I kind of am. I'm bouncing around. But also, I wanted to say, I think Sirianni does bring a form of accountability that was not there last year. So I think he deserves credit for that.
How so, though? Because, I mean, like, the Jalen Reagor thing feels like a perfect example of this guy out there running bad routes, being lazy, making bad plays, and yet out there every week, starting every week.
Well, we'll see what he does next. Tomorrow.
We will, but, I mean, it's not like this is not the first. I know he had big drops, but it's not like he's been awesome. Like, we've all been saying all season long, play Jalen Reagor less, play Quez Watkins more, play Greg Ward more, play Kenny Gainwell more, like, whatever, play Jalen Reagor less, and it has not happened yet. So, I don't know. I don't know. About the accountability.
Sirianni is like a player's coach. I mean, he legitimately believes in second chances, and he always wants to.
But how is that accountability, right? I mean, this is supposed to be a meritocracy. It's the NFL. Like, the best.
I actually think they're very similar in that regard. I think Doug and Nick probably handle their players in a very similar fashion.
Yeah. So one thing about Howie, and then Elliot, I have a question for you about what you may think is a Christmas movie.
Okay.
So the other thing about Howie is, of course, hindsight is 2020. I mean, the Phillies could have had Mike Trout, but they went with Dominic Brown. So, of course, drafting is drafting.
Just a little needle there. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, just throwing that out there. Yeah, and last thing, Elliot, so if you don't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, so there's a little-known movie known as Hook with Robin Williams.
All right, bro, don't try to tell me you think Hook's a Christmas movie.
That takes place at Christmas.
Okay. It's a good movie. I love the movie. Not a Christmas movie.
Okay.
It's a Peter Pan movie.
I haven't seen Hook since I was a kid.
It's a good movie. It's a bit of a kid slash adult movie.
He goes back to England or wherever over Christmas. And then the movie begins.
See, but this is where I think there's a disconnect. It's just because it takes
place. I think Peter Pan is a different thing. I agree.
Right. It's just because it takes place during Christmas.
Matt, I like the attempt, though.
Right. Every movie with snow is not a Christmas movie. Like,
Well, it's at Christmas.
I know, I know. It's a good attempt, but I think
Matt, great call. Yeah. Call again soon. Let's squeeze one more in here. Let's go to West Deptford and talk to Chase. Yo, Chase.
Go Birds. How we doing, guys?
What up, Chase?
Go Birds.
So I got a little bit of a bold thing where I think we should do in the draft, right? When it comes to it, I think with our first two-round picks, we need to finally address something we've neglected and neglected for years upon years. I think we should go out, look to the SEC for the first two picks. If they're on the board, Dean from Georgia and Christian Harris from Alabama, solidify our linebacker crew and stop bringing in random guys. Like, listen, I like TJ Edwards. Alex Singleton's a good backup rotation guy. Davion Taylor's a year away. But still, like, if we can go out and just start filling up our linebacker core SEC players, that is huge.
Yeah. At least one, right? Like, at least one guy.
At least.
Especially because, like, historically, we all know how the Eagles have valued linebackers. But Elliot and I have talked about this a lot. Like, they brought in a defensive coordinator who clearly needs linebackers yes. more than past defensive coordinators here have, so you have to adjust. Like, they need a linebacker who can play.
We can totally go out and address the wide receiver position maybe later in the draft, but I think Allen Robinson, Mike Williams, like you guys were saying, yeah, like, we can address that there. But with these first-round picks, how important these are, and the amount of SEC talent that's been producing out of Alabama, Georgia, and all these places for the last years, we can't miss on this right now. And I think if Howie can go out – I have one more question, by the way. But if Howie can go out and just get, like, some SEC defensive players, we can really set this defense up.
And it looks like this is where the draft is strong,
yep.
too. So what's your question, Chase, because we're up against
it. So my question to end off with you guys real quick, I just want to know what in this draft – will make it a successful draft to you. What do we have to do to make it successful?
Good call, Chase.
It's
players
a tough question.
Who
yeah,
are
it's a
good.
Tough question to answer quickly.
Yeah,
but
you know, it, yeah, we can't.
I think
you don't know. Like, we don't know yet. We don't know what picks they're going to have. We don't know.
It's like a Christmas movie. You know it when you see it. You know it when you see it. We will know if it's a successful draft.
Thank you to everyone who called in. We literally could not do this show without you. We appreciate you. Dan Wilson doing a great job behind the glass. Some bonus content coming up, and then after that, the SEC Championship game on this station, so keep it locked here. For Elliot, I'm James. Thank you for listening to another edition of Go Birds Radio right here on 94 WIP.